From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network all over the Great Lakes State on our great affiliates that you can find on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Being brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Time to get your Lucky Buck is now. Get it out. Refresh your spots. Antler growth moving. With all of this rain we've had and some of the heat, antler growth, man, is again, here we're looking at probably the third year in a row of some of the best antler growth we've seen. Because of temperatures, because of the amount of moisture in the plants and things like that. Lucky Buck, one of the advantages to help a healthier deer herd out there as well. But we're going to talk a little bit about boating, a little bit about keeping your boat clean to stop the transfer of aquatic invasive species in Michigan. And it's not just live creatures that move and swim around the waters. We're talking about plants as well. And we've got Seth Herbst from the Michigan DNR. And Seth, let me see if I wrote this down fast enough. Your title, Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator for the Michigan DNR Fisheries Division.
That is correct,
right? Woo-hoo! Hands in the air, waving like I just don't care. sorry about that, Seth.
But no, that's fine.
We're in full swing with boating season right now, and there are really some things we have to learn because boats can be vectors for invasive species, and it may be a species that we've dealt with longer than, you know, some of the fish and other organisms that are in there. I mean, just plant life in general. But, you know, let's talk about properly cleaning your boat and trailer before and after entry into Michigan waters.
Yep. So plant species, a lot of them are invasive, and as of right now, if you look at recreational boating as a potential vector or pathway for these invasive species to spread, there's a pretty high probability of, you know, backing a trailer or boat into a water, and then when you pull out, having any one of those invasive species be attached in some fashion. So more or less what we're promoting is just making sure that you give your boat and trailer a visual inspection to make sure that you're cleaning anything that's attached off of either your boat or trailer to make sure that we're not spreading or introducing these invasive species into new water bodies.
Now, here's a question. With plant life, things of that nature, maybe we haven't had the boat out this year. How long can hangers-on survive and then maybe regenerate when they hit the water?
Yep. So as far as, you know, taking out for the first trip after winterizing it last year, it's probably less of a concern. The recommendation for the most part is drying your boat for at least 5 days. So obviously if you winterized it last fall, it would be safe for this year. But some of those spots in your boat that might not completely dry, like your bilge or your live well, those type of areas, we're really promoting anglers or other recreational boaters to really make sure that they're drying those areas out. So when you pull your boat out of the water, just make sure to, you know, pull the plug and drain any water that may have gotten into your boat during your trip. Just to make sure that, you know, you're getting all those locations drained that might be holding water. Zebra mussels are actually an invasive species, and I'm sure many folks in Michigan are familiar with zebra or quagga mussels. But one of their, as part of one of their life stages, it's a veliger, which are actually microscopic. So when you think about zebra mussels or quagga mussels, usually you can see them and that kind of thing. But one part of their life stage when they're reproducing is the veliger stage, and that's actually a stage that you wouldn't be able to see just with your plain eye. So making sure that you drain your water is also important, too, with maintaining boats.
Now, speaking of Seth Herbst from the Michigan DNR, Seth, there's a pretty basic solution we can create ourselves, we can make ourselves, to clean out our live wells and our bilges.
Correct, yeah. So bleach, 5% bleach solution or 10% bleach solution should take care of most of those invasive species. So I know our crews specifically decontaminate our boats and vessels with bleach, just spraying it down with, a pest applicator like you would use for spraying your yard, for example.
Oh, okay.
So after, after a trip, just put a little bleach solution into one of those sprayers, and then you can apply it to your boat. And then after that, let it sit for a little bit and rinse it off with your hose. And that should take care of most of the concerns with invasive species. But even just taking the few extra minutes to pick off any attached vegetation or plant material and draining the water out of, your bilge or your live well, even those small steps that, just take a couple minutes really help with preventing the spread of some of these invasive species.
Now, I know Michigan laws prohibit, as your email says, Michigan laws prohibit placing a boat, trailer, or other boating equipment into state waters with plant material attached. You see the vegetation pretty easily if like milfoil or coontail, whatever type of vegetation you might have picked up on your motor or in the trailer during a drop-off. But how easily does that regenerate in new waters? How easily can we infect new waters with that vegetation?
It's actually surprising how easy that would be, Durant, from the standpoint that a lot of these invasive species are very robust and have the ability to become abundant and widespread. So even if it's just a fragment of one of these plants, a lot of times that's all it would take to start a little, bed of Eurasian water milfoil, which for folks that live on lakes or have recreated on lakes with Eurasian water milfoil, you can see how abundant and the type of ability that a plant, an invasive plant species like Eurasian water milfoil has with, just the capacity of completely choking out a lake if it does get in. And a lot of times, that's all it starts out with. It's just a small fragment of one of those invasive plant species.
Now, I know, speaking of Seth Herbst from the Michigan DNR, I know at one time Sleepy Hollow State Park had imported some little seed-like insects to come eat the milfoil. But unfortunately, when they got to a certain stage, they just kind of come to the surface, dried up, and flew off, which gets kind of expensive. And, they're still having some problems with some of the weeding.
Absolutely. So when you deal with invasive species, one of the major concerns is if you don't catch it early enough, a lot of control options, your control options are fairly limited and less effective. So when these species get in, they have that invasive characteristic that they have the ability to reproduce rapidly and in high quantities. They have the ability to outcompete some of the native species in those ecosystems. And as soon as they become abundant, as soon as they start really spreading, those control options are not only less effective, but they also have that additional cost associated with them. So, there's chemical control options, there's biological control options. And then there's, the mechanical, which would just be, pulling or harvesting some of these invasive plant species. Mm-hmm. But anytime you deal with those type of efforts, there's a large price tag associated with them.
Absolutely. Seth Herbst is our guest here from the Michigan DNR, the Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator for the Michigan DNR Fisheries Division. We're going to speak more with him about getting our boats clean. Make sure we do not transfer these aquatic invasive species here on Wild Michigan.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan. Cross the line at an hour to time.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, Alex Clark in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. You can find out who our affiliates are, in what cities you can pick up Wild Michigan, as to what times. And if you miss any of it, you can pick up our podcast at wildmichiganradio.com. Our first hour of the show, thanks to our good friends Tom Nelson from the American Archer and Alex Gilstrom from Scentlock. We talked a little bit about the Michigan company Scentlock and their new affiliation with our friends at the Bone Collector, plus the technology involved in Scentlock apparel used in hunting in the fall, you know, or throughout the hunting seasons, rather. And also to Tom Nelson about the allowing of lighted Knox and video cameras into the Pope and Young record books. Those kills, harvests, if you will, taken after August 1st will be allowed if they qualify for Pope and Young. So that's a pretty big deal for a lot of us in the bow hunting world out there. Right now, we are talking with Seth Herbst from the Michigan DNR. He is the Aquatic Invasive Species Coordinator for the Michigan DNR Fisheries Division. Seth, we talked a little bit about cleaning the boats, cleaning the trailers before you launch, and again after launch, the importance of maintaining, you know, these materials that we use for boating, be it recreation or from fishing, and how easily transferable some of these, like you said, the Eurasian milfoil can be. What about, we had, of course, the baitfish scare with VHS. We no longer have to maintain our receipts, but there still is proper ways to dispose of leftover baitfish that we are not going to use.
Correct, yeah. So proper disposal of unused bait is certainly one thing that, as a fisheries division, we promote. So, you know, you go out with your bait bucket, and after your fishing trip, you know, we promote, you know, dumping that bait into the trash. A lot of times within, you know, your bait bucket, some of those fish might have diseases or different pathogens, but potentially they could also have invasive species. So just making sure that not only that you're disposing of your bait properly after your trip, but also when you're out on the water, just make sure that you're keeping a close eye on, you know, the bait that you're actually using, because potentially, you know, it could be an invasive species. With the bait trade, we developed a video last fall that kind of went into some of the specifics on how to distinguish juvenile Asian carp from some of the common bait fish that Michiganders might be using. And then another, you know, small invasive species that is currently fairly widespread in the Great Lakes is the round goby. And right now our bait dealers are doing their best to try to make sure that those fish species don't get into our bait trade. But, you know, every preventative measure that we can take to make sure that those fish don't spread into some of our inland systems, the better off our resources. So, you know, just keeping an eye out, and if you see anything that looks quite a bit different than, you know, your normal bait fish, just don't use it or don't dispose of it into the water body. Make sure that after your trip, you're throwing that away into the trash.
Seth Herbst is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Seth, you know, sometimes even though we have the best intentions, it may not be legal. And I'm talking about the transfer of fish from one body of water to the next. And when I say that, you know, say someone catches a big bass and say, gosh, this would be a great one for my lake, you know, and maybe the genetics on this one would be great. So we start playing Dr. Frankenstein ourselves, and we want to transfer these things, but that is not legal either.
Right, yeah, and those regulations are put in place to just make sure that we're maintaining the health of the fish population. A lot of times in different lakes and different water bodies, you may have a specific pathogen or some kind of virus or disease that might be prevalent. So if you fish in one location, catch a fish and want to transfer it to the next, even though you don't necessarily see an issue. It might be something, you know, one of those unseen issues like a disease type of concern. So that's why those regulations are put in place. And obviously with invasive species, that type of a regulation would make sense too, because even if you don't, even if you capture or catch a fish that you don't necessarily recognize as being an invasive fish, if you transfer that, obviously we could negatively influence that water body that you transferred to.
Yeah, case in point, this snakehead. Somebody gets a couple of them for medicinal purposes, doesn't need them anymore, lets them go, and now they're all over the Potomac.
Exactly. Yep, that's a perfect example there. And as a fisheries division, we recently developed an identification video that will help anglers identify a fish species that's native to Michigan, called the bowfin, or regularly referred to as a dogfish. It actually looked pretty similar to that invasive snakehead fish.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage, you know, folks to go on to our DNR Fisheries website, take a look at that. And, you know, if you have any questions in identifying a fish, if you see something that looks a little different, or, you know, you're suspicious that it might be an invasive species, go ahead and take a picture of that fish and contact us, and we'll be able to help you out with identifying it and moving forward with that.
And I'm glad you brought that video up, because we'll put a link to that video on our website, wildmichiganradio.com, because when I first saw the story of the snakehead, and I got the backstory on it about a gentleman that had bought the snakehead for medicinal purposes for his sister that was sick, lets him go in this pond. Next thing you know, like you said, in the Potomac, and one, they're not native to our country. Two, they can be kind of vicious. The females can be vicious around their young.
Yep, absolutely. They're a very aggressive predatory fish. They have the ability to outcompete largemouth bass and other fish species. But a lot of the folks listening today probably, you know, enjoy pan fishing for bluegills, mm-hmm. and different sunfish. And if snakehead do show up, they would have the ability to prey or eat those fish, and potentially cause issues with those populations. So, you know, if snakehead do get into our waters, which they're currently not yet, but it could certainly cause issues on some of the more popular fisheries within the state of Michigan.
Absolutely. Seth Herbst, the operative word being yet, and same thing with Asian carp, not yet, but we are keeping a close eye, and we greatly appreciate your time here with us on the show today.
All right. Well, I appreciate you having me on today.
Not at all. We will have links to the videos on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. And thanks again to Seth Herbst for joining us here on Wild Michigan. More coming your way next on the Michigan Talk Network.
Hi, this is Larry Wyson, and you're listening to Wild Michigan with Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Talking a little bit about fishing today. Hopefully everybody's enjoying their July. We are almost halfway through the month. Surprise! Bass season in full effect right now, and the talk of, you know, extending the season. We have now the catch and release season, which is nice, where we can actually target bass species in the waters of Michigan, which this year was a lot because most of it's still ice covered. But you know, we still have that ability. But what about in the event we'd like to keep? Maybe we'd like to extend our bass season, maybe, you know, a little bit longer throughout the year. I personally don't keep largemouth bass, and I don't think I've ever eaten a smallmouth. But hey, you know, there's folks that do, and I'm not going to stand in the way of that. But maybe we want to extend the season, even if it's a catch and release season, a little bit longer. Throughout the year, where we can target, even though, you know, you'll catch them by accident sometimes. but literally target the bass. And that's why we bring in our bass expert, Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com here on Wild Michigan, our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Welcome, Dan Kimmel. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm getting ready to go to a bunch of meetings, it looks like.
Bunch of meetings. Well, it looks like the DNR is, they're looking for public opinion on proposed bass fishing regulations, maybe to extend the season in order to get public input on proposed regulations to expand Michigan's bass fishing seasons. The DNR has announced an online survey. I'm taking this right from their press release and public meetings throughout the state in July. For the past year, DNR's Fisheries Division has been working with the Warm Water Resources Steering Committee and to discuss possible expansion of bass seasons. And how involved have you been, Dan, with the possibility of extending bass seasons here in Michigan?
Well, I've tried to be at every meeting that I know about that talked about it. I represent both bass federations on the Warm Water Resources Steering Committee, and I just recently got our resolution passed through Michigan United Conservations Club at their state convention, so that now we have their support. I've worked with some of the other fishing groups, the Steelheaders, which is maybe the biggest fishing group in Michigan. So I've been trying to keep pretty busy on this because I'd like to see it happen for once and for all. You know, we only have four states now that don't have a year-round bass season, and we're one of the four. And I'd like to make us one of the 45 that has year-round fishing.
Now, see, when we can have year-round fishing, we can target the species, but right now we still have the winter no-harvest section of our season.
Well, you know, in Michigan, it's illegal to try to catch a fish out of season. So before that last Saturday in April, you're supposed to not catch bass, which, again, depending on the lake and what you're targeting, it can be hard to not catch bass at all. And if you happen to own a bass boat and can't afford another boat, a lot of times you get, you know, hollered at and stuff like that. And I call it guilty by bass boat, and I'd like to get rid of that because I love spring crappie fishing, but if I go on in the lake and crappie fish, people assume I'm bass fishing, and really there's no reason not to bass fish. So I think it just makes fishing easier for people to get out and to enjoy it and not worry about, you know, having any hassle. Just go out and enjoy fishing. That's what this should be all about.
Speaking of Dan Kimmel from GreatLakesBass.com, you know, that's almost profiling, Dan, that you would get screamed at on a lake just because you have a bass boat and you don't have a flotilla at your disposal.
Yeah, I've been the only boat on a lake before in the spring, crappie fishing with my friend, you know, one inch tube bait under a little tiny bobber, and had the CEO come and launch his boat and check us because somebody on shore said, hey, they're out here bass fishing before season. And the funny part is I've said, well, you know, but look, we've got a few crappie because I don't eat a lot of fish, but I like them in the spring a little bit. And we got a few in the live well. And look at what we're using. Well, you can catch bass on that too. And look, you know, I just want to go fishing and enjoy my day. I don't want it. What a waste of a few conservation officers' time, too. It's just silly. You know, if I was in a different kind of boat, he would have never been called probably unless we were right in front of somebody's house catching bass after bass after bass, you know. But there is no biological reason. It's a social season because we haven't protected the spawn in 43 years since we changed it to Memorial Weekend. So I would just like to get it fixed once and for all. So three of the four options are for some type of year-round fishing, and I'm pretty excited about that.
Dan Kimmel's our guest here with GreatLakesBass.com. Our website is WildMichiganRadio.com. You can find us on the internet there and pick up any of the podcasts that you missed, of shows you may have missed on our great affiliates across the Michigan Talk Network. Dan, you know, and I'll say this from firsthand experience. I have been on the Detroit River in the spring, and I have seen guys in bass boats fishing walleye, and not for one second did I go, is that guy smallmouth fishing? Not once did that ever enter my mind. And I think it's kind of ridiculous that people would target somebody just because this is the type of boat that they happen to have.
Yeah, if you go to Lake St. Clair, because you can fish walleye, pike, and muskie all year on the Lower Peninsula Great Lakes, except Lake St. Clair has that later muskie opener. So if you're on the mile roads fishing with minnows, you can fish all day long. You're going to catch walleye. You're going to catch bat. I caught trout. You may catch some pike down there. But if you're in one kind of boat, people think, well, that guy's, you know, not breaking law. If you're in a bass boat, you're breaking the law. And the last thing I want is intra-angler conflict, because right now, more than ever, we need to be together, hunters and anglers. And so, to me, that makes it even more important to get this clarified and fixed once and for all. People say it's not broke. It is broke. And I just want to see it fixed. And I'm so excited that we might finally do this.
Dan Kimmel, what would be, you know, within reason, of course, what do you think would be an ideal bass season for us here in Michigan?
Well, there's two options I like. Our proposal is one of the options, and that is catch and release all year, and we keep the Memorial opener, and we take Lake St. Clair, our number one bass lake, and we move it from that late opener that's not scientific, and we move Lake St. Clair also to Memorial weekend. That's a really good option. I think a lot of people can be behind. The other option is opening bass the same time we open pike, walleye, and muskie the last Saturday in April, and then everything, all the game fish would align. So both of those are really good options. The second option there, that last Saturday in April, that would allow catch and delayed release tournament events, so we would actually increase our economy. And that's what I'm hearing from a lot of business, government, and higher-up people, is that they want to see more. And after those two tournaments last year, they want to see more of those events come to Michigan, and we need to make a longer season here.
Exactly, and delayed release, that's an interesting point to bring across, because in the event of a tournament, you have to have them for weigh-in.
Yeah, if you're going to have a big money tournament, people love seeing the fish. And, you know, some people, they don't like tournaments, but you know what? Tournaments get a lot of kids into fishing. Our college and high school fishing programs are growing and getting huger by the day. And tournaments create excitement, and they get people thinking about it. We go to lakes, and people say, I didn't even know there was bass in this lake. Wow, look at those fish. I'm going to go bass fishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, it is, too. And with the growth of high school tournaments, high school club being a club sport, and in college it becoming a sport as well, I mean, being recognized by the NCAA, what aren't people getting?
I don't, that's a great question. I don't get it, but why they're not getting it, because it's awesome. These kids call me, and they are so excited. They love competing against their peers for prizes. And, you know, another trick we do on is we require that if they want to go on to the higher level, they have to do 8 hours of community service.
Sure.
So we're going to get them into conservation programs, and now companies are offering conservation/youth grants to do these kind of things. And we're going to work with MUCC on habitat improvements this year with some of the college groups. It's going to be great.
Dan Kimmel's joining us with GreatLakesBass.com, talking about expanding the bass season in Michigan. Not the catch and keep, but maybe the catch and immediate release, or for tournaments, the catch and delayed release of bass fishing. We're going to talk more with Dan here in a couple of seconds. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, is where you can pick us up on the podcast. Send us your pictures of fishing. Doesn't matter if it's a minnow or a big 8-pounder. Okay, we don't care. Just send us your pictures. You can click on our Facebook link, which is facebook.com/wildmichigan. Send them to me via the contacts page at wildmichiganradio.com. More bass talk with Dan Kimmel and Wild Michigan.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host on the Michigan Talk Network. Alex Clark, our producer. 2 hours of the most guest-intensive outdoors radio programming you can find anywhere in Michigan, guaranteed. And it's all about the guests, man. It's all about the content, not about the host. Short, boring show there, folks, just in case you're wondering. My good friend Dan Kimmel is joining us right now from GreatLakesBass.com here on the show. Dan, there are public meetings, dates, times, locations available on the internet if you belong to you know, if you're on board with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources mailing list, you can also go to michigan.gov/fishing, which, and I'm not going to pick on the DNR because they're friends of ours and I like them and they do a lot of great work, but sometimes the website can read like Braille to a sighted person when it comes to looking for something. It has got better over the years. I will say that. It has improved dramatically over the years, but sometimes it's very difficult to navigate. But we'll have the listing on our Facebook page if you'd like to check that out, facebook.com/wildmichigan. Join us there. But I'm looking at some of these places, Dan, that they have for the public input meetings. You're looking at Iron Mountain, Cadillac, Kalamazoo, Bay City, Newberry, Detroit, I get, Ishpeming, Gaylord, Houghton. And granted, they want input from anglers and non-anglers alike, which I think is fair. I think it's just. But the locations, some of them are kind of sparsely populated.
Yeah, it's they told me one per region. I was thinking, I really think these kind of meetings deserve more than that. But I never understand why they don't ever have them in Lansing. And Grand Rapids, you know, huge fishing population.
Sure.
And then, you know, Oakland County, anywhere over there, this is going to cut back on how many people can attend when you start at 6 p.m. in the evening, you know, and they're so far scattered. So I wish they'd have a few more. But, I understand that they're adding this to already busy schedule, short
sure.
staff, although, you know, we gave them the license increase to help. And that's one of the reasons we supported it is to try to get this bass season.
Yeah, I'm not, this is not me, you know, incriminating the DNR whatsoever. I'm not. As a matter of fact, we just had Seth Herbst from the Michigan DNR talking about cleaning our boats, you know, cleaning the bilges, cleaning the live wells, and cleaning around your trailer so we do not, you know, take nuisance invasive species to other bodies of water throughout Michigan. We love the DNR, but, you know, we need to be active in what goes on, you know, to help ensure that the people's voices are being heard. And there
yeah.
is actually a survey online that we'll have posted on our Wild Michigan Facebook page that you can take. That, and it's very important that you take it should you want to be included, your voice to be heard.
Yeah, that's definitely the thing is, you know, you're going to get it out, I'm going to get it out, and other people, the meetings yesterday and today, spread it as wide as possible, but at least people can take the survey. And I did ask one of the Natural Resource Commissioners and the DNR, and I said, hey, how do you feel about, you know, companies and non-resident anglers? And they said, no, we want to hear from them too. So I will actually be sharing this more. Because, you know, non-resident anglers, I guess we're second behind Florida now in attracting non-resident anglers, and I would like to beat Florida. I'm competitive.
I want to beat Florida at anything, just
exactly,
because.
Exactly. You and me are on the same page on that.
I think it goes from being a Michigan fan, you and I, but which we just lost half our listenership. But, you know, in all seriousness, look, Oakland County is the number one place for licensed boats in Michigan. I freaked out when I heard that, but you know,
yeah.
and we have more licensed boaters, registered boats in Michigan than any other state. Again, freaked
yeah.
out when I heard that. So, I mean, we have a very strong voice, and it's very important
yeah.
that we be heard.
Yeah, people say, well, you know, we're doing great. I'm like, yeah, but we can do even better. I want to do even better. So, yeah, you know, maybe a few more meetings would be nice, but at least get the survey, you know, widely spread so they can hear from a lot of different anglers and understand what anglers want. You know, most anglers are not used to closed seasons because most states don't use closed seasons.
Right. Right. You know, and that's again, what we've been talking about here. Now let's shift gears a little bit. We are firmly in the midst of summer, but we've got a cold front coming. How is that going to affect the bass fishing?
Well, it should be interesting. I don't think it's going to be like last summer. We had that really weird weather change. The fish are just, a lot of them, just starting to get heavy into the post-spawn, pre-summer pattern. So I think with them schooling up, I don't think it's going to be a big change. And I'm definitely seeing a lot of big fish being caught inland and on the Great Lakes right now. It looks like they're eating really good. I've seen a lot of that belly fish. They kind of look like me.
red hair and all.
Lately, I need to get out fishing some more and burn some of this off.
Well, you know, that's okay, but I mean, as far as, are we looking deeper water? Are we looking shallows? Are they going to be cruising the top waters looking for lunch?
Yeah, this time of year, you're still going to get some on top water, especially early and late in the day because of that post, the pre-spawn, pre-summer pattern, because a lot of things have hatched or are still hatching. So, yeah, they're looking up. So top water is still good, and then they head a little bit deeper. But, you know, me, I like the lakes with a lot of overhead cover, a lot of sloppy weeds and pads. That's, you know, that's good in Michigan all summer when you can find it.
You know, I drive over the Grand River on the Waverly Bridge in Lansing all the time, and I see a lot of this matted grass-type stuff over there. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? Flipping a creature across the top of that or a frog or something, even in a river, you know, and that river especially where we have such a diverse amount of species in that river, the bass fishing has got to be pretty good.
Yeah, that grass is pretty new only the last few years. And I was curious what was going to happen. Well, you know what? When it comes, if you got weeds in the lake, there's going to be bass in them. And, yep, sure enough, there's guys getting bass pretty good out of those weeds now. So it's new for the fish. It's new for us, but it's weeds. And green weeds attract bass.
They do. And I'll be honest, I have seen more boats fishing that area of the Grand River than I've ever seen on
yeah,
a daily
it's fun.
Basis.
That's fun fishing. I mean, that's. That kind of fishing is about as fun as it gets for me.
No, I agree. And, you know, the Grand River, again, numerous species within that with that body of water. I mean, you have large-scale fish for bow fishing and just for fishing in general, like carp. You have gar. You have walleye, smallmouth, largemouth, sunfish, bluegill, rock bass, name it. You know, it is It is a just an awesome fishery, and so many people drive over it every day, not giving it a second thought. Or they say, it's dirty. No. Very loose sediment on the bottom and a very clean river.
Yeah, it goes through a lot of farm country, but the pike are up this year. More pike and some bigger ones coming back, too. We've been out, and the last time out, there's a little creek that comes in the back of a bay, and for whatever reason, a pike like that little creek mouth.
Well,
so
you know,
this time I was thinking, you know, I got a kind of expensive lure tied on. You throw over there, and my partner threw it. Bam! About a 26, 27 inch pike. I'm like,
nice.
Oh, they're getting big again.
Yeah, I've seen. I don't live too far from the river, but I've seen, you know, a pretty good sized pike rolling through there as I just came up to the shore. You know, just walked up to see what was going on, and there's a big one rolling through. And I'd never fished that part of the river. I'm guilty, too. I'm guilty as anybody else.
I love rivers. I'm glad I live here. And I fish downtown a lot when I can, too. And people are always driving by, and they do a double take. What are you fishing? You know, you're in your bass boat. What are you fishing for?
Exactly.
And I had a few days in the midsummer when I started catching the smallmouth good right downtown by Michigan Avenue. You can draw quite a crowd.
Oh, yeah. But people that do not fish love to watch somebody that does, and they're not afraid to ask questions. Or people that even do fish and see somebody being successful, they want to learn. So that in that respect, it's awesome. Also, don't be afraid to take your neighbor or, you know, a kid fishing, because 9 times out of 10, they won't ask you to take them. You're going to have to make that first move.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people right now posting that, gosh, I wish somebody would take me fishing. So, yeah, that is excellent and really good advice. There's a lot of people that want to get out fishing and aren't getting out fishing enough, and I always want to do anything I can to change that, always.
Well, check him out. Dan Kimmel at GreatLakesBass.com. Lots of great articles on there, lots of great information. Dan is working very hard to extend and protect our bass seasons here in Michigan. I had the opportunity to hang out with you down at the Bassmaster Classic in Alabama this year, which I absolutely enjoyed. And as always, Dan, I enjoyed our time with you here. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it too, Dorian. Good luck fishing. We'll get out this year.
Exactly. Dan Kimmel, GreatLakesBass.com. You heard it. We're going fishing. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.